Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
So let us work together to reduce the number of women seeking abortions. Let's reduce unintended pregnancies. Let's make adoption more available. Let's provide care and support for women who do carry their children to term. Let's honor the conscience of those who disagree with abortion and draft a sensible conscience clause and make sure that all of our healthcare policies are grounded not only in sound science, but also in clear ethics, as well as respect for the equality of women. Those are things we can do.
Well, that's President Barack Obama speaking last year at Notre Dame University, a famous, now famous speech. He sounds like he gets it. He almost sounds a little pro-life. He, at the very least, sounds magnanimous toward the pro-life position, because we know he isn't pro-life. He's actually quite pro-choice. But does he understand the pro-life position? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon, May the 21st. We're going to start this hour talking with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University about President Barack Obama's misunderstanding of the pro-life position. And then we'll discuss pro-life feminism with Colleen Carroll Campbell. We'll wrap it up, as we always do on Friday afternoons, playing Soundbite of the Week with you. Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 4 soundbites from this week's Issues, Etc. audio. We play them for you, and then you listen, you call, you vote. And we are coming to you live, so 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @IssuesETC, or you can leave a question or a comment and your vote for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Dr. Frank Beckwith is a regular guest. He's professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He's author of the book Politics for Christians. He's also written an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled Justice for Some. Dr. Beckwith, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Kit. Great to be here.
I would like for your take on what President Obama had to say there in the open. He sounds like he's being magnanimous and very open-minded to the pro-life position. Does he understand the pro-life position?
You know, Todd, I can't get inside his mind, but I will tell you that I do think the way he's presenting it is not accurate. And let me just begin with his initial, or some comments in the middle, where he says that he tells us that people disagree with abortion. That's not quite right. What do I mean by that? Well, pro-lifers don't disagree with abortion. Let's say, like, we may disagree with another person or disagree on a particular public policy, whether, let's say, the United States in 1977 should have given the Panama Canal back to Panama. What we believe as pro-lifers is that the unborn human person is a full-fledged member of the human community. And we just don't disagree with it. We think it's wrong. That is, it's not a question of a subjective opinion that we have, a matter of taste or a matter of preference. We think it's actually wrong, and wrong in a real serious sense. So when the president uses that language, and I suspect that it was said in this way for a variety of reasons. One, it doesn't really make the deep moral judgment that pro-lifers assert. On the other hand, though, he wants to say we ought to, in fact, it's interesting here, he says we should reduce the number of women seeking abortions by reducing unintended pregnancies. Now, it's interesting here, he's not talking about protecting the unborn from harm. He's talking about reducing the number of abortions, which isn't precisely the pro-life position. I mean, pro-lifers would have no problem with pregnancy termination if the unborn didn't die as a consequence. So it's not abortion per se, but the consequence of it.
So by describing this as merely a difference of opinion, what is he able to get through the door? I mean, he was able to actually garner an invitation to Roman Catholic University to speak as commencement speaker and an honorary doctorate. What is he able to get through the door by framing this debate as a mere difference of opinion?
Well, it reduces the disagree. It changes the nature of the disagreement. That is, we have a group of Americans, pro-lifers, who believe unborn is unjustified. The abortion is unjustified. Homicide, the unborn are human persons. We have another group who hold that it is in fact not unjustified homicide. The unborn are in fact not fully persons. Those two positions are categorically opposed to each other. But by making it sound as if you believe that abortion ought to be illegal, somehow you're not really trying to help women. By stating it this way, he makes it sound as if the pro-lifer is the one that really is not interested in ending abortion in the sense of helping women. He or she is just interested in something else, maybe just being annoying or something like that. But I do think what he gets through here is a way of looking at the pro-life position which just is not accurate. The pro-life position is, in one sense, about reducing abortion. That is, we consider it a successful thing for that to occur. But that's not merely what we're interested in. We're interested in protecting all human beings, regardless of their size, level of development, level of development, environment, or dependency. We're interested in that because we believe that's in fact what the government ought to do. But if in fact abortion was reduced because, let's say, we happen to bribe people to not have abortions, that wouldn't make us more pro-life. It would just reinforce the idea that unless somebody's desires are pacified, they still have absolute discretion in killing the unborn. So at the end of the day, I don't believe what President Obama is presenting is an accurate portrayal of the pro-life position.
When the president, and he often does, describe abortion as a deep moral issue, an intensely moral issue, he uses this language. What does he mean? What do people sadly often hear him saying?
You know, I think it's because people today tend to think of morality as is in some ways subjective. So if you say something's a moral issue, to a lot of people that translates to something like what you personally would not do. So, for example, I may not, let's supposing I were Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and I did not eat kosher food. People would say, certainly you have a right to not engage in that type or to eat that type of food, but you shouldn't coerce other people to do it. In that sense, I think people think of moral issues as in that kind of very almost subjective, narrow way. So when he says that, what he's really saying is this is an issue over which people have deep emotional disagreement. But I don't think he means it in the way that a lot of us mean morality as something involving good and bad, right and wrong. And so, for example, I would say racial discrimination is a deeply moral issue, but I'm not saying it's a subjective moral issue, that in fact we have an obligation to treat other people in ways that are fair and just, regardless of their ethnicity or race. So I think when the president uses deeply moral, it kind of shifts it away from objectively wrong to sort of subjectively undesirable.
And then kind of coupling it with his notion of a difference of opinion, It seems if you kind of follow along with his way of framing the question there, what you're really worried about is hurting people's feelings or their sensibilities. Again, shifting the focus from the unborn to those who object to killing the unborn.
That's right. It's a very cleverly written and well-crafted speech. I don't think that any part of it was not gone over by the White House. And it's clear that, for example, when he talks about abortion being a moral issue, he doesn't say what precisely that means. It means that one group of people believe the human community includes the unborn. Another group doesn't. That's not only a moral issue. That's a metaphysical issue. That's a question about who and what are we and whether we can know it. And in some ways, it's an issue very similar to the sort of issue that divided the United States in the middle of the 19th century with the Civil War and the issue of slavery. It touches on those very same metaphysical questions about who and what are we. And in that sense, it's more than a moral question. In fact, if it were merely a moral question, you could, in some cases, frame it as a question of one sort of personal religious belief. But it really is. It's more than that. It involves how we should treat others and what, in fact, or who, in fact, is an other.
Well, that's the big question. Who is the other? Who is the neighbor? We'll come back to that on the other side of the break. Also, I'd like Dr. Beckwith to compare two things. The rhetoric during the Clinton administration was safe, legal, and rare. And people would ask, why should it be rare if it's right to do? That rhetoric has shifted to, and we've talked about it a little bit here already, reducing the number of abortions. It seems to be unpacking that notion of rare, but it doesn't carry with it the same kind of moral specificity. I mean, you can reduce the number of incidents of anything for a whole number of reasons, and it seems a rather pragmatic approach to one that is essentially an issue of life and death. Dr. Frank Beckwith is our guest. We're talking about President Obama's misunderstanding of the pro-life position. He's professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, author of the book Politics for Christians. You can purchase this book, Politics for Christians, under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Dr. Frank Beckwith is our guest in just a few minutes. Colleen Carol Campbell will join us to talk about pro-life feminism. The rhetoric during the Clinton administration was safe, legal, and rare. It seems something of a concession to the moral issue here. And that has gone from rare to reducing the number of abortions, kind of a more pragmatic way of putting it. What would you say of that shift in the way that pro-choice presidents are talking about the issue?
Well, I think it tells us a lot about how successful the pro-life movement has been in communicating its message to the general public. You may remember these days, Todd, but I certainly do, when there was a time where abortion was defended as a good. That is, abortion was considered by many liberals to be a helpful way to reduce the population, to enhance family life, to empower women. All these virtues were attributed to abortion. Well, over the past 35 years or so, a little bit longer than that, pro-lifers have never had the law on our side. So what we've done is largely make the argument about the nature of the unborn. And the other side has pretty much stuck to courts and the academy. And I think what's happened is that the general public has become more and more pro-life, especially with the onset of many of the technologies such as amniocentesis, as well as some of the technologies that allow the physician to view the fetus like an ultrasound. So all these sorts of things have I think shifted the debate. And so it's pretty clear that most Americans believe abortion is a moral wrong. So you can't really come out and say abortion is really great. You have to say it's wrong and we have to reduce it. So I do think that it has it does speak well for the success of the pro-life movement. However, I don't think that the claim or the goal, even though I think it is a noble goal, really in any way advances the pro-life cause. Remember, the pro-life movement is one that says that we have a moral obligation to the people that are the most vulnerable to us. And in this case, it is the unborn. And to say that means that in some cases, certain sacrifices must be made by both mother and father to take care of that child. And that is clearly not a very popular sort of argument. So if you sort of abstract it and treat it as reducing the number of abortions rather than saying, let us welcome more children into the human family with love and devotion, that actually means that some people, in fact, may make the wrong choice. It also reinforces the idea that abortion, when it's not chosen, still is a power that the woman has to employ at any other point in the future if she gets pregnant again, which, of course, is not pro-life at all. It continues to reinforce the idea that the unborn are always at the discretion, or their lives are always at the discretion of either the physician or the child's mother.
Dr. Frank Beckwith is professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He's author of the books Politics for Christians, and he's also written an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled Justice for Some. Dr. Beckwith, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me, Todd.